But it's not what Jared wanted, is it? Sagan said. He knew his consciousness had been recorded. He could have asked me to try to save it. He didn't.
No, he didn't, Kynan agreed.
Jared made his choice, Sagan said. And it was his choice to make. Erase the recording, please, Kynan.
And now you see why I know you have a soul, Kynan said. Please accept my apology that I ever doubted it.
Apology unneeded, Sagan said. But apology accepted.
Thank you, Kynan said. And now, Lieutenant Sagan, I was wondering if I could ask a favor of you. Or perhaps it's not so much of a favor as calling due a debt between us.
What is it? Sagan asked. Kynan looked past Sagan to Wilson, who looked suddenly very uncomfortable.
You don't have to stay for this, my friend, Kynan said to Wilson.
Of course I'll stay, Wilson said. But let me reiterate, you're a damn fool.
Noted, Kynan said. And I appreciate the thought.
Wilson crossed his arms and looked vexed. Tell me, Sagan said.
I wish to die, Lieutenant, Kynan said. Over the last several months, I have begun to feel the effects of the antidote you provide lessen. Every day I am in increasing pain.
We can give you more, Sagan said.
Yes, and perhaps that would work, Kynan said. But I am in pain beyond the mere physical aspect. I am far away from my people and my home, and far from the things that bring me joy. I cherish the friendships I have with Harry Wilson and with you. You, of all people. But every day I feel the part of myself that is Array, the part that is truly me, grow colder and smaller. Not too long from now there will be nothing left of it, and I will be alone, absolutely alone. I will be alive, but I'll be dead inside.
I can talk to General Szilard about releasing you, Sagan said.
That's what I told him, Wilson said.
You know they'll never release me, Kynan said. I've done too much work for you now. I know far too much. And even if you did release me, do you think the Array would welcome me back?
No, Lieutenant. I am far from home, and I know that I can never go back to it.
I'm sorry I did this to you, Kynan, Sagan said. If I could change this for you, I would.
Why would you? Kynan said. You have saved your people from war, Lieutenant. I am merely part of the cost.
I am still sorry, Sagan said.
Then repay that debt to me, Kynan said. Help me die.
How would I do that? Sagan said.
In my studies of human culture, I've learned about seppuku, Kynan said. Do you know it?
Sagan shook her head.
Ritual suicide from your Japanese people. The ritual includes a kaishakunin, a second, someone who eases the pain of the person committing seppuku by killing them at the moment of their greatest agony. I would choose to die from the disease you inflicted on me, Lieutenant Sagan, but I fear that when the agony is greatest, I would cry for mercy, as I did the very first time, shaming myself and setting myself in motion on the path that led us here. A second would keep me from that shame. I ask you to be my second, Lieutenant Sagan.
I don't think the Colonial Defense Forces will allow me to kill you, Sagan said. Outside of combat.
Yes, and I find that ironic beyond belief, Kynan said. However, in this case they will. I have already asked General Mattson for permission, and he has granted it. I have also asked General Szilard for permission for you to be my second. He has granted it.
What will you do if I refuse? Sagan asked.
You know what I will do, Kynan said. When we first met, you told me that you believed that I wanted to live, and you were right. But as I said earlier, that was a different place and a different time. In this time and place, I want to be released. If it means I do it alone, then I will be alone. But I hope that will not be the case.
It won't, Sagan said. I accept, Kynan. I will be your second.
From the depths of my soul, I thank you, Lieutenant Sagan, my friend.
Kynan looked to Wilson, who was crying.
And you, Harry? I asked you to attend me before, and you refused. I ask you again.
Wilson nodded violently.
Yes, he said. I'll do it, you lousy son of a bitch. I'll be there when you die.
Thank you, Harry, Kynan said, and once again turned to Sagan.
I need 2 days to bring things to a close here. Will you come to visit me on the third day, in the evening?
I'll be there, Sagan said.
Your combat knife, I think, should be sufficient, Kynan said.
If that's what you want, Sagan said. Is there anything else you would have me do for you?
Only one other thing, Kynan said. And I'll understand if you can't do it.
Name it, Sagan said.
I was born on the colony of Fala, Kynan said. I grew up there. When I die, if I can, I'd like to return there. I know it will be a difficult thing to manage.
I'll manage it, Sagan said. Even if I have to take you there myself. I promise it, Kynan. I promise that you'll go home. A month after Zoe and Sagan returned to Phoenix Station, Sagan took Zoe on a shuttle to visit the gravestone of her parents. The shuttle pilot was Lieutenant Cloud, who asked after Jared. Sagan told him that he had passed on. Lieutenant Cloud was quiet for a moment, and then began telling Sagan the jokes that Jared had told him. Sagan laughed. At the gravestone, Sagan stood while Zoe knelt and read the names of her parents, clearly and calmly. Over the month, Sagan had seen Zoe change from the tentative girl she had first met, seemingly younger than she really was, asking plaintively for her father, to someone happier and more talkative and closer to the age she was, which was, as it happened, only a little younger than Sagan.
My name is here, Zoe said, tracing the name with her finger.
For a while, when you were first taken, your father thought you were dead, Sagan said.
Well, I'm not dead,
Zoe said, defiantly. No, Sagan said, and smiled. No, you definitely are not. Zoe put her hand on her father's name.
He's not really here, is he?
Zoe asked.
Here under me?
No, Sagan said.
He died on a wrist. That was where you were before we came here.
I know,
Zoe said, and looked over to Sagan.
Mr. Jared died there too, didn't he?
He did, Sagan said.
He said he knew me, but I didn't really remember him,
Zoe said.
He did know you, but it's hard to explain,
Sagan said. I'll explain it to you when you're older. Zoe looked at the tombstone again.
All the people who knew me have gone away,
she said in a small sing-song voice.
All my people are gone.
Sagan got down on her knees behind Zoe and gave her a small but fierce hug.
I'm so sorry, Zoe. I know,
Zoe said.
I'm sorry, too. I miss Daddy and Mommy, and I even miss Mr. Jared a little, even though I didn't know him very much.
I know they miss you, too,
Sagan said. She came around to face Zoe.
Listen, Zoe, soon I'm going to be going to a colony where I'm going to live. If you want, you can come with me.
Will it just be you and me?
Zoe said. Well, you and me, and a man I love very much, Sagan said.
Will I like him?
Zoe asked.
I think so, Sagan said.
I like him, and I like you, so it stands to reason you would like each other. You, me, and him.
Like a family, Zoe said.
Yes, like a family, Sagan said.
Very much like one. But I already have a daddy and a mommy,
Zoe said.
I know, Zoe, said Sagan. I would never want you to forget them, ever. John and I would just be the two grown-ups who will be very lucky to get to live with you.
John,
Zoe said.
John and Jane. John and Jane and Zoe.
John and Jane and Zoe, Sagan repeated.
John and Jane and Zoe,
Zoe said, standing up and moving to the rhythms of the names.
John and Jane and Zoe. John and Jane and Zoe. I like that,
Zoe said.
I like it too, Sagan said.
Well, okay then,
Zoe said.
And now I'm hungry.
Sagan laughed.
Well then, let's get you something to eat.
Okay,
Zoe said.
Let me say bye-bye to Mommy and Daddy.
She ran to the headstone and planted a kiss on it.
I love you,
she said, and then raced back to Sagan and took her hand.
I'm ready. Let's eat.
Okay, Sagan said. What would you like?
What do we have?
Zoe said. Oh, there are lots of choices, Sagan said.
Pick one. All right,
Zoe said.
I'm very good at making choices, you know.
Well, Sagan said, hugging the girl close. I'm so very glad to hear it.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.